Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
One more home game to go in the season for the Titans. Two more games to go in the playoff hopes. Still alive as the Tennessee Titans today take on the New Orleans Saints after a tough loss against the Houston Texans on Sunday. The Titans saw their AFC South hopes disappear yesterday as Jameis Winston, in spite of his 47 interceptions, could not lead Tampa Bay back. Houston clinches the AFC, which means there's one playoff spot on the line. And unfortunately for the Titans, they no longer control their own destiny. Joined by Chris Sanders, hey, former Titan receiver, former Titans general manager Floyd Reese. And a lot of the hopes today for the Titans lie in New York at MetLife Stadium, where the Jets take on the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, there's also a game here at Nissan Stadium today, and there will be no Derrick Henry. So a lot of storylines to get to as we look at the Titans and the Saints game. Floyd, we started off with you. The AFC South, as of yesterday, is gone, and now there's one final spot left. It's between two teams, essentially, Tennessee and Pittsburgh, and yet it feels like this game just doesn't matter so much in the grand scheme of things.
Well, it sounds like the bottom line is we have to hope Pittsburgh loses one of the next two. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, and if we can beat Houston, then we'll be in. So that's kind of the bottom line. And there's a scenario we can win both and be out, and there's a scenario we can lose both and be in. So that's kind of where you are. You know, you just got to go out and play. I mean, you can't, you can't worry about, right, you know, what's going to happen next. You got to find a way to beat Houston right now.
And this is the predicament that the Tennessee Titans didn't want to be in. We talk about this all year, that we want to put ourselves in position to make sure that we can control our own destiny. Now we got to hope for Pittsburgh. This is the exact scenario that we did not want.
Yeah.
And all we had to do was beat the teams that we're supposed to beat, and now we wouldn't be in this predicament.
And it seems like it happens every year.
Every year
you're sitting there, because it's funny, if you're 11-5,
right,
you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, you know, if we win out, we're going to be good. Or if Houston loses one, we'll be in. Or if somebody ties, yeah, and then somebody else ties and then they lose, we'll be in. So every year you go through all the different, you know, what ifs. And yep. And the bottom line is right now we kind of know where we stand, which is good. You know, I don't mind that.
What do we think about last week's Texan game with so much on the line? Mm-hmm. The Titans come out slow again. Mm-hmm. They drop the football. They miss field goals, things of the like, and it kind of feels like when you look back on this season, mm-hmm, this feels like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, it feels like the Titans are headed for another 9-7 season. You know, this would be the fourth in a row. Now, again, when teams like the Saints or the Chiefs or the Patriots or whatever come into Nissan Stadium, they always seem to have a hard time, and maybe today's that way as well. But it feels like the Titans are headed for another 9-7 season. Mm-hmm. And yet this 9-7 feels different than the other 9-7s. Like, this feels, and maybe I'm just talking out of my rear end, this feels like a good Titan team that just simply took too long to get going both this season and in a lot of games that matter.
I mean, you're right. I mean, what have we been saying all year? Slow start. I mean, look at what happened when they played against the Jags, Denver Broncos, the Panthers. The reason why they lost those games is it was continually slow start. You can't do that. And then going back to looking at the quarterback play, when you have Mariota struggling at the beginning of the season, making interceptions, and there's no consistency on offense, and the defenses always have to pull you out, you're going to lose those games. So I just think that that's the reason why we're in this predicament now, is because the quarterback play wasn't good and continually starting slow game after game after game.
Yeah, it's the hard part about the league is, and every coach will tell you, know, you are what your record says you are, and all of that is true. That being said, every 9-7 is not created equal.
True.
You know, there are times you can be 9-7 and you played your butt off. Mm-hmm. And there can be times you're 9-7 and you just kind of cruise through it. So it's not the same because the division's not the same. The opponents aren't the same. The injuries aren't the same. I mean, there are a lot of things that change that around. This team, if this team ends up 9-7, is 40% better than the first team that was 9-7.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is so much better. And yet, you're going to say, well, it's 9-7. And there are going to be those people that gripe about, you know, another winning season. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you need to think back a few years here with 2 wins and 3 wins, and we'll take the 9-7s. And the part that's exciting, I think, is what 9-7 tells you and what last year tells you and what this year tells you. We said for you to get to the point you can contend on a yearly basis, then you're doing the right things.
Right.
You're headed in the right direction. And last year, we had to win the last game to get in. Didn't do it. This year, we're going to have to win the last game to get in or have a chance to get in. And, you know, does it happen? We don't know.
And, Floyd, to piggyback off that, you remember when we were with the Houston Oilers/Titans and we consistently had those 8-8 teams?
Yeah. 3-8-8
seasons. 3-8-8 season. But we knew that we had a good team. The defense was in top five every year. It's just we start to put those pieces together. We had a Javon Curse, a Samari Rowe to get over that hump. And that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans are doing now. You add A.J. Brown. You add a Jonnu Smith. A little bit of pieces that put together to now, all of a sudden you're looking at 8-8, and then all of a sudden you go to 9-7, then all of a sudden you're in the Super Bowl. And that's kind of like, I'm not saying that's on the pace what the Titans are doing now, but that's the pace on what we did in the past.
Well, when we left, when we got out of Andy and went to – back then, I don't even know, LP, was it called?
Adelphia.
Okay, whatever it was. I remember people saying, well, what do you, you know, you can't be another 8-8 team. I said, let me tell you something.
Yes. Yeah.
If we're 8-8 again, then that's what we are, an 8-8 team. But I said, if we jump out and win a bunch of games, you may realize this team was a pretty good team that was kind of stuck behind the eight ball. You know, for a year in Tennessee and a year in Vandy and the travel and all this stuff. And that maybe, just maybe, that had an effect on the team.
Well, that and you drafting the best pass rusher in the game, I mean, I think that kind of helped as well.
True.
So I feel like with this team, the one thing that I'll walk away, again, if they're 9-7 and if they don't make the playoffs, is I'll walk away saying, okay, at least they figured out some important things. Mm-hmm. Because it felt like last year, they're 9-7. There were a lot of questions. Like, can Henry be the guy that he was the last four games? Is Mariota the guy? Is one of these receivers going to emerge as a guy? And I feel like if we walk out of the season, if the season ended today, we'd walk out of this saying, okay, Henry is a lead dog, and you can win with him. We'd walk out saying A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith have established themselves as playmakers for this football team. And then I think the biggest thing is I think the Titans have a quarterback that everybody over there feels comfortable with that they can win games with. I'm not saying he's going to be like New Orleans quarterback today, but he is a guy I believe that the fans, the city, the players, the coaches, I think they can win with Ryan Tannehill. And I think that answers a big question that this time last year wasn't necessarily locked in stone.
Yeah, you went from question marks to periods. I mean, what was the biggest question mark coming into this season? The quarterback position. Now we solidified that. You know, I don't know what they're going to do in the offseason. And then we had the question marks about, just like you said, about Henry. Can Henry carry the load like what he did last year? And then going to the wide receiver position, who was a true number one wide receiver? We thought it was Corey Davis. Corey Davis, I'm not saying he was inconsistent. I'm just saying he's not getting the opportunities.
You are saying that.
But, I mean, we
nice
we,
drop by Davis the other day. Oh,
there you go.
Third
there
down.
You go. But we're starting – and then once we start putting a period on those question marks, now you can build on from that and going on to next year.
I mean, I was just thinking about this, Floyd. All the question marks. They ended last season with. We go back to Henry. You know, was Henry a four-game mirage, or is Henry capable of being one of the best statistical running backs in the league? Well, we learned that he is capable of being one of the best statistical running backs in the league. Is Marcus the guy? Can Marcus stay healthy? Well, now we've learned Marcus isn't the guy. Even Delanie Walker, like, that was a big question. Could Delanie come back as the old Delanie? The answer is no, but Jonnu Smith is in there to fill his spot. it does feel like if this is another playoffless 9-7 team, at least it feels like you go into the offseason with the direction of where this team's headed.
No, I don't think there's any doubt. And I think it's we're slowly but surely starting to see some of these things that, you know, people are so quick to judge. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of Janu, you know. I mean, 2 years ago, and I was as bad as anybody, you know. He's making mistakes. He's not making any plays. He's not, you know, on and on and on. Well, he's a great athlete. The coaches love him. And you kept watching the coaches, and indeed the coaches loved him. And you think, what can there be about this kid that they love? Well, now we're seeing it. You know, now you're seeing that, hey, this kid is coming along. He's going to have a chance. And so I think, you know, we're starting to see some of those kinds of guys come in. You know, Conklin, is he going to be off his knee? I think he's back. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's off his knee. I think that's not a factor anymore. You know, the young guard. What about the young guard? Is he going to have a chance? Well, I think now you would look at it and say, yeah, you know, he does have a chance. Now, it took him a while to get there, but he didn't get off to a good start. Sure. And, you know, it looks like he's making it. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of areas you could look at it and say, you know, I feel pretty good about that area. And several areas on defense, of course. It boils down to the same thing, and it's going to boil down to the same thing for us. This year, it looks like, which is health.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't. Last year, we got killed because of health, and we don't know what's going to happen this year, but health is a factor, and you can't. And we work hard. Mike works as hard as anybody I've ever been around at keeping guys healthy. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, you have these issues, whatever they are, that pop up, and it affects you know, how you want to play, what you want to do.
And then also, this helps us for the draft, because when we go into the draft, we don't have to draft for need. We can draft for best available. I mean, if you look at last year, we had to draft players that had to come in and play right away. You can probably draft somebody now that doesn't have to have a big impact right now, especially, you know, we had to improve the defensive line. We got Simmons, and I think Simmons is going to come on. But now you can draft out of need, I mean, out of availability as opposed of, you know, having to get a need.
That all being said, the season's not over. I mean, the Jets – again, I don't like the idea of putting my eggs in the Jets' basket, and I don't love the idea of the fact that if Baltimore beats Cleveland today, they will wrap up the number one seed in the AFC, and thus they'll rest everybody against the Steelers next week. But I don't think we think the Steelers are some great team. We saw Houston, a good team yesterday, against Tampa Bay, get gifted 14 points to start the game, and Houston still should have probably lost that game.
Well, yeah, if they would have played like that against us,
we
would have
crushed the brakes off.
That's what's so sad.
and so that's, I mean, but you know what? You gifted Houston 10 points to start the game, too. So it's not like the Titans aren't at fault here. But again, the Steelers still have to win their final two games, and the Titans have to win at Houston next week. Bill O'Brien said after the game yesterday he's going to play his guys next week against the Titans. Look, I saw Deshaun yesterday.
He's going to play.
I'd be stunned if he plays next Sunday against the Titans. The way he was limping on that ankle, there's no way. They'll say all week Deshaun will play, and then they'll get to the game Sunday, and they'll say, Deshaun, here's your ball cap. Go sit down.
He's going to play, boss.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know. You know, and it really doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter from the standpoint. You got to go in there, you got to win, and it doesn't matter who the quarterback is.
I think it does matter, but I think you can't affect who they're – you don't get to pick who their quarterback
is.
No
choice.
We'll take a look at the four big topics of today's game. We go four downs, presented by your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. That's coming up next on the pregame show. Live from the George Jones, where the doors open at 10 o'clock. Of course, we're getting you set for Titans Saints. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Titans and Saints at Nissan Stadium, a gloomy day here in downtown Music City, but it could be a great day for the Titans if the Jets win against the Steelers today, and it'd be a good day for the Titans if they were to beat the New Orleans Saints, because let's not kid ourselves, the Saints are a good team. It is time now to go four downs, the four big topics surrounding today's game presented by your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and of course, we start with first down.
First down.
First down is simple to me. Derrick Henry is out today for the Tennessee Titans, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Henry will be sat down. Yesterday, the Titans made a move waiving Sharif Finch and adding Daylon Dawkins from the practice squad. Now, Floyd, you liked Daylon Dawkins in the preseason a little bit this year, probably not to be the starting running back of the Titans, which he won't be today. Deion Lewis and Kerry Blasingame will probably get a majority of the carries for the Titans. But if you're going to beat the New Orleans Saints, and we know how much is riding on this game compared to everything else, but it's going to be a tall task without Derrick Henry today.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to – this games like this boil down to, you know, the coaches and the schemes, because you've got – you know, you're nicked a little bit here and there. It was like a Tampa Bay last night. Absolutely no receivers.
Never heard of the guys catching the
ball. Nobody. So what do? You just take a couple of guys off the practice squad and a couple of guys off the street, get them out there. And to Bruce Arians' credit, did not back down or back off one little bit. Yeah. Keep trucking, keep throwing, keep get it to them. And they ended up making plays. I mean, they had every chance in the world to win that game and beat Houston and just couldn't pull it off. But, I mean, they're right there in the middle of it, and I think that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to go out there and say, who's the running back? That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're going to do this, and because what are your choices? You know, you can't line up against this team and throw the ball 45 times and have a chance. They're going to just kill you. So, you know, what do you have to do? You've got to try to, you know, keep your scheme, and hopefully along the way somebody will pop a run or two enough to make them continue to respect it. I mean, it's, you know, on one hand it's wishful thinking. On the other hand, it's you have no choice. So let's go do it.
I mean, it kind of concerns me a little bit because, you know, I did a little study on their defense. You know, they had 40 games without a 100-yard rusher.
Yeah.
I mean, and now you're about to plug in some guys that we kind of never really heard about. Blasingame and what's the guy's name again?
Deion Lewis.
I know that guy.
Dawkins.
And now you got to plug him into a defense that's that vicious and has a good pass rush and is on point on stopping the run. And then you plug in these guys, somebody's going to have to step up making play. But I think that even though those guys are in there, this is where we're going to see if Tannehill's going to make his money. I mean, because you have no Henry, he's going to have to lead this team to victory. And this is where you're going to see if this guy is going to be your general to lead this team. So that's what I'm excited to see.
That takes us to second down. Second down for the Titans. They're taking on Drew Brees. Now, last time the Titans took on Drew Brees, Mariota beat him in New Orleans in overtime. But let's be honest, Drew Brees may be the best player, best quarterback in the NFL, maybe one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, as he has the all-time record for yards, and as of last week, had the all-time records for touchdowns, plus Brees 29 of 30 against Indianapolis. Chris,
yes.
How do you stop Drew Brees, who I believe is one of the few players still around from when you played?
What, so you're saying I'm old?
I didn't say that. I also did not say that.
Nah, but I'm going to tell you something. Drew Brees is probably one of the best quarterback I've ever seen. He's poised in the pocket. You know, he goes through his progression. He looks at his reads, and he's just really something special. But he can't be stopped. I mean, there's always a kryptonite to stop somebody that great. And I went back and watched two of the games that they lost. They lost against three of the games they lost. They lost against the Rams, and they lost against the Falcons. So what did the Falcons do to really stop Brees? Number one, they pressured him, make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket. They had six sacks. And then here's the cool part about it, though, is even though they're going to get their explosive plays, even though he's going to throw the ball to Thomas and throw it to Cook and all those guys, they held their offense to field goals. So if the Tennessee Titans can hold them to field goals, even though they get their explosive plays, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful by pressuring Brees.
If we can get pressure.
If we can get pressure.
I would agree. Yeah, that's the problem. The thing that he does so well is he doesn't get sacked, and he doesn't turn the ball over. You know? I mean, he's probably right now playing as efficiently, as focused as any quarterback in the league. I don't care who it is. I mean, he is outstanding. You know, he's accurate. He makes good decisions. You can't line up, as Indy found out last week, you can't line up and let him have a clue as to what the coverage is, because he knows exactly where that ball's going, and he can put it right on him. You've got to, and Dean is going to have to do some of this. He's going to have to try to, you know, show him one look and then pop out of it and play something completely different. And sometimes especially now, if Dory's not playing, you've got some new guys in there. I mean, you get yourself in a position where mistakes are higher to happen, you know, and that's scary. But you really don't have a choice, because if you think, well, you know what I'm going to do, I'm just going to back out of the zone here, and I'm going to play this zone, and I'm going to play it better than anybody has ever played it. Really? You know, good luck. Yeah. I mean, that's just not going to work. Yeah. So that offense and what he's doing, I mean, it is on fire. They do. There's everything they do is good. You know, they've got key good players at every position. They got a running back, they got a tight end, they got receivers, they got the quarterback. The offensive line is playing good, although one of the guards is out, and maybe both the guards are out. So that might be a little bit of a factor. But
and I'm told both guards will be out today for them.
Yeah, maybe. And if that's the case, then of course that will help. But, I mean, that is a fine offensive team. And you can't underestimate the defense. I mean, it's a good football team.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Enter Greg Joseph, the new kicker for the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Succop placed on IR this week. Chris Anders, your thoughts on Greg Joseph, the new kicker?
Who?
Joseph did kick for 14 games last year for Cleveland, did not win the kicking battle this year, and was on the Carolina Panthers practice squad.
You know, I'm a little nervous, and the reason why I'm a little nervous is because he's never been in a pressure situation. Yeah, you can kick it in preseason. He's done good in preseason.
Well, he kicked last year for Cleveland.
He what?
14 games.
14. Was he ever in a pressure situation? Okay, let me ask you a question. let me ask you a question. It's 23-23. And he trots out there to win the field, to kick the win the field goal. Are you feeling confident?
I feel better than I felt
last
week.
No. I didn't ask you that question. I said, are you feeling confident?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's not Succop anymore, thank goodness.
But Succop has proved himself, right? I mean, I know he's been
not
terrible.
Not in 2019.
But he's been terrible before that. But you're talking about a kicker that really has – and I'm not disrespecting. I know he has a talent, because if he didn't have a talent, he wouldn't be in the NFL. I'm just saying – he's going to be in a pressure situation. It's 23-23, and it's a 45-yard kick. You're telling me you're poking your chest down and you're confident. I want the listeners to hear it.
Ask me at, like, 4 o'clock, and I'll be able to answer that question.
Nah, but, I mean, he's there for a reason. I mean, I think that, you know, we're going to see what he can do. Now, if he comes out on the first field goal kick and it's a doink-doink, then now we're in trouble. But if he kicks the first one with confidence, and if it takes the pressure off of us to know that he can make some kicks, I kind of have faith in him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said early in the week, you have no choice. I mean, you got one kicker, and it's him. He's ours.
Get out there and kick.
So you got to love him. But, I mean, you just hit it on the head. You know, Succop hasn't proven himself in 2019. Has this kid?
Thank you.
He has not even put
a
jock on.
For Carolina.
Yes,
so
he's
been
on
Carolina
the practice squad. Yeah, that's exactly. You know what a kicker on the practice squad does?
Practice.
Nothing. He does nothing.
Hey, Harrison Butker came off the Carolina practice squad and has been that guy in Kansas City, and that takes us to the fourth and final down.
Oh, man.
Fourth down.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. While the Titans, a win or a loss against New Orleans may not mean a whole lot, a win for the Jets at MetLife Stadium today against Pittsburgh would mean everything for the Titans, and then would put the Titans right back in the driver's seat with a win at Houston next week. So, Chris Sanders,
yes.
What do we think the Jets' chances are of pulling off the upset against Duck Hodges and the Steelers?
I think they can. I mean, I know the Steelers' defense is stout and everything, but look at the situation that we had earlier in the season. It's the quarterback position. Their quarterback position for the Pittsburgh Steelers is up and down, up and down. He'll look good on one play. Next thing you know, he's throwing 45 interceptions. So the reason why I say that the Jets –
Jameis Winston's made a career out of that, by the way.
Yeah, but this dude is on pace to do the exact same thing. But I think if the Jets just come out and play, they have nothing to lose. Just play careless – not careless football. Just come out and play with the passion. Put the pressure on Pittsburgh Steelers. Make the quarterback try to beat you. I think the Jets can have a chance to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to, you know, what they're going to do today is they're going to try to play winning football, which for them is going to be give it to Le'Veon Bell and play good defense. Mm-hmm. And if they can do that and just hold on to the ball and keep it slow and Duck Duck comes out and throws an interception or two, then, you know, you're right in it. So, I mean, we don't know anywhere. It's in New York. You don't know what the weather's going to be. Not that the weather should bother Pittsburgh, but it will be away, and, you know, you've got all those factors. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, we need them either this week or next week. They gotta flop some way, somehow.
I think that the Le'Veon revenge angle is the one I'm holding on hope to. The fact that Le'Veon doesn't really care about playing football anymore. All he cares about is his money. I think Le'Veon's made that abundantly clear. But that if there was any team that he'd want to go out there and beat the brakes off of, it'd be Pittsburgh. Because you know he felt disrespected, even though he was treated perfectly fair and made a lot of bad financial decisions to not play football last year for Pittsburgh. But he feels disrespected, and so this would be the time for Le'Veon to take it out on Pittsburgh, and I, this week, am all for it.
It's interesting because this just dawned on me. I mean, we've talked about two or three running backs here today and how they flopped, and they've all flopped after they got their big contracts.
Well, Le'Veon hasn't flopped. He just, you know.
Oh, yes, he has.
I would say he's flopped.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Gurley definitely has flopped.
Zeke?
Zeke is on
ain't
the,
worth 15
on the
million
edge.
Bucks right
yeah,
now.
He's on the edge. Yeah. So, you know, there you're sitting there with Derrick Henry and you're scratching your head. You go, oh, I don't know. What do we do here? You know,
this is what
scary.
This is what I like about not like about the Jets, but I think why what's going to be the determining factor of the win is if Darnold starts hitting ghosts again. That's the only thing. That's the only thing.
Don't even say it. Don't even speak it into existence.
If he says that and gets on the sidelines, it's like, I don't know what the heck is going on. That's when I see the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win. If he starts his ghost again. Yeah.
Coming up next, what does the Titans offense, what are they going to do against the Saints with no Derrick Henry? We'll go inside the playbook presented by Boombox Craft Pizza and Tap House. That's next. We're live from the George Jones, Jared, the GM, Chris Sanders. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is time to take a look inside the playbook presented by Boombox Craft Pizza and Tap House, live from the George Jones, Jared, the GM, and Chris Sanders. No Derrick Henry today. So, Chris Sanders, if you're Arthur Smith and you're dialing up the playbook, what do you do? And please don't tell me it's a lot of Deion Lewis.
That's your best bet. I mean, you know, because the thing about it is, if I'm the Saints and I know that Derrick Henry's out, I'm just going to stay in zone and play the pass. So I just think that Tannehill has to be big today. I mean, just get the ball into the playmaker's hands. A.J. Brown's been fantastic. Get the ball to Janu. Put Janu back at running back. I'm not telling put him back there full time, but put him back there in the backfield and have him make some runs. But also, you know, put Janu in the slot and have him do the speed sweep and let him get on that corner and use his speed. So you can be creative like that. But most of all, they just got to protect the football and get their hands in the playmakers and let them make plays.
Yeah, I
mean,
you know, you got what are you gonna? You can't change the offense.
Can't change it.
You know, I mean, you can't change what you're trying to do. You've been practicing for 14 weeks and however long in the off season, so you're going to continue to do, you know, whatever's in the playbook. You know, that being said, I mean, all of those inside runs and, you know, some of those things are going to have to change, and you know, you're going to try to get on the outside a little bit more. You're going to try to not, you know, you're going to have to rely more on play action pass and not, you know, maybe on first and 10 where with Derrick in there, it's run 75% of the time. Well, now it's 50-50 or maybe 60-40. You play action pass, drop it off to a back, and if Lewis is in there, he's going to have to be involved in the pass game. And if he's involved in the pass game, then, you know, it'll be a lot of checks and swings and stuff like that he can handle. So, you know, it'll be a little bit different. I don't think it can be dramatically different. I mean, trick plays become more of a factor, I think. So it'll be interesting to see how they – you know, the thing that worries me is I don't want Tannehill to think he's got to go out there and throw for 600 yards to win the game because we will get killed. So he's going to have to play his game, continue to play his game, and be smart with it. And instead of throwing the ball 30 times, maybe he has to throw 40 times. But that's how you're going to have to adjust.
And I think with Arthur Smith, he's going to have to really be smart this weekend. And when I say smart – is make sure he puts the right personnel out there. When you put 21 personnel out there, that's more power and coming down here with Derrick Henry. Now you want to spread this defensive out and go like 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. So now when you have the three wide receivers, now they're going to go man-to-man. And the guy that we need to attack, and I hate to say this, he went to The Ohio State University.
Eli Apple.
Is Eli Apple. If I see him one-on-one out there, I'm ignoring everything over there, and I'm going to attack Apple because he, in my opinion, he's a good athlete, but I don't think he's a great corner.
So two thoughts I have on that. Number one, I think if A.J. Brown's matched up at any point on Eli Apple, you got to get the ball to A.J. Brown.
Let's go.
A.J. Brown, and I'm trying to think of, Chris, when we look at A.J. Brown and what he's good at and what maybe he lacks in, he is the number one wide receiver of the Titans. I mean, he has taken that mantle. The question is, can A.J. be the go-to guy week in and week out? Because if A.J. was a bona fide number one guy and not just a guy who's impressed us this season, but like a true one, then we would say without Derrick Henry, well, then A.J. has got to pick up some of the slack. So I wonder how important it is to get him the football. But at the same time, I wonder how much Sean Payton is looking at A.J. Brown and saying, okay, we are not going to let this guy take over the football.
And that's where we're going to see if this guy can mature into a number one receiver. Now, when I got into the league, I was getting man-to-man coverage, and I was licking my chops. I mean,
so were we.
And Chandler's like, okay, I'm forgetting to read, and I'm throwing it downtown. But then I kind of struggled a little bit when I got double-teamed. So when I got double-teamed, I had to have a game plan. That's what A.J. Brown has to do to take his game to another level. Look at the A.J. Brown. Look at the Julio Jones. Those guys, when they get double coverage, they find ways to catch the ball. So now A.J. Brown has got to do the same thing because he's gonna get double coverage. I think the Saints are going to take him out of the game. He's got to catch the ball and create separation against double coverage, and that's when he becomes a legit number one player.
Floyd, what have you seen out of A.J. Brown?
The thing that concerns me about A.J. more than anything else is, you know, we're so quick to label him a number one receiver, and making him the number one receiver on the Titans doesn't make him a number one receiver.
Yeah, it does not make him Michael Thomas.
It does not make the guys that we're playing against, they are number one receivers. And the truth is, we don't have one. We're trying to find one. And can A.J. blossom into it? Yeah, he probably can. But he certainly, you know, he's still a number two, and, you know, a good two, and we hope he graduates. But I don't know. Again, I don't know, you know, on defense. I mean, if I'm the defensive coordinator today, I'm knocking your quarterback down every snap.
No doubt.
If you're the Saints.
Every snap I'm saying, okay, babe, here we come. And we're going to cover man for man because – we really don't have anybody that can run on the outside that scares you to death, you know. So you say, well, what, I take Lattimore and I put him on A.J. if I'm worried about A.J. And I'm saying, you know, here we go, guys. You know, put a lot of pressure on him and let the defensive lineman go and see what happens. Knock the run down on the way to the quarterback.
You know what's funny is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm more afraid of John New than I am than A.J. Brown.
Yeah, because the matchups.
Yep. I'm more afraid of than Janu than because I can take A.J. Brown on the perimeter. I can take him out the game. But Janu, if you match him up with a linebacker and a safety, it's no comparison.
Well, and that goes back to Floyd's point about how they're going to come after the quarterback. I don't doubt that. With Cam Jordan and Onyemata and all those guys defensively that are just game wreckers, that's what I would do too. That's where a screen to Janu Smith could make make a huge difference in the football game. Something else you brought up, Chris, is you talked about Arthur Smith going to have to be smart today. This is going to sound crazy because, generally speaking, I'm anti-play calling. Mm-hmm. I think Arthur's play calling has been fantastic over the last couple of weeks. I mean, they scored, 42 points against Oakland last week against the Texans? I mean, they dial up the bomb on the second play of the game, get man coverage. Tannehill hits A.J. Brown. Tannehill's got A.J. Brown on the first drive. A.J. Brown drops the ball. That's not really Arthur Smith's fault. Mm-hmm. They missed the field goal. That's not Arthur Smith's fault. He drew up a play that was a touchdown to Firkser. He dropped the football. That's not his fault. Then they come back in the football game, and he runs that beautiful sweep to Jonnu Smith that nobody saw coming. I mean, I think Arthur Smith has really, really called some good games lately, and I was never one to jump on him when things weren't going well. Floyd was defending him. I let the callers and Floyd go at it because the callers were mad at Arthur Smith. But I think Arthur's doing a really good job as far as the game day play calling.
Yeah. Look at when they played against the Raiders. They were in a jumbo package. A jumbo package is two backs, two tight ends, and one wide receiver. So when you're in that type of package, you keep the defense in their base defense. So and all of a sudden, Tannehill checks out of it, 91-yard touchdown. That's just a great job by having a formation dictating what the play is. And that's why Arthur Smith has been so successful, is because he's creating different formation for every guy to make plays. I mean, look at all the guys who are making plays. You got Sharp making plays. You got A.J. Brown making plays. You got Janu making plays. You even got your favorite person, Deion Lewis, making plays. So when you
we'll see Deion makes plays today.
But he's putting guys in formation for everybody to make plays, and that's what makes him – that's why he's been so successful.
I think Chris brought up a good point earlier, which is he's going to have to do some things formation-wise to bring in more DBs, which sounds crazy, but, you know, force them into nickel maybe, which eliminates some of the blitz possibilities in the core, you know, where you can line up. If you go two tight ends, they can have eight or nine guys standing around there, and you can't tell if it's a blitz or not, because that's where they're going to line up anyway. If you spread everybody out, now if you're going to blitz one of the slot guys, he's probably going to cheat or give it away, or, you know, everybody's going to have inside technique, or you're going to, you know, some kind of a key will tip you off to the fact that, and you see him go alert, 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 those kinds of things. Hey, there's a chance we're going to get blitz here, guys. Be on your toes.
I wonder, too, as far as the offensive coordinator is concerned, especially with Arthur this year, how much of it is Tannehill's ability to read a defense compared to Mariota's?
Oh, and, 10 times better.
And like, take basketball, for example, right? Like, I can tell you, you know, hey, when to set a pick, when to slip the screen, and then all of a sudden it's a dunk. But you have to be out there as the player on the court, and you have to read what the defender's doing. Oh, they're both going to double the ball screen. Okay, I slip, it's a dunk. Like, but you have to see that. And I wonder how much of the week Arthur spent telling Marcus, now, if they do this, Marcus, you have to do that. And then Marcus would get out there and be like, well, the coach called, you know, 29 Z-gap shoot, so he wants the ball to go to the middle of the field, even though they got four guys sitting in the middle of the field. The coach told me he wants the ball to go to the middle of the field, whereas Tannehill gets up there and says, I'm not throwing the ball in the middle of the field. They got four guys in right there.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if, like, even going back to Matt LaFleur last year, if Marcus's inability to read the opposing defense made us look at the coordinator and say, what's this guy doing? Whereas now Arthur, it seems, is calling a lot of these great plays, like the touchdown against the Colts to Khalif Raymond, and how much of that is Tannehill saying, okay, here's our shot, let's take it, because he's able to read the defense.
Well, and we've seen Tannehill audible several times put him into a better play, sometimes a big play. But I don't think there's any doubt, for whatever reason, and I don't know what the reason was. I mean, sometimes, you know, if you're a quarterback and you see things in practice, they look a certain way. Well, you know all those guys, and you know kind of what they're telling. Well, you bring up a new team, and they're not going to do it exactly the same way.
Yeah.
You know, their inside technique's going to look different. Inside technique for different players. And if you haven't been in the league long enough to where you can see some of those things and understand some of those things, then, you know, it's useless to you. It's information that you can't process. Whereas I think Tannehill and his experience can catch up all those little keys, all those triggers, and say, aha, look at this guy. I know when he lines up there, look at the safety, cheating two steps, you know, all of those kinds of things that Tannehill has the ability to pick up on.
You know, Floyd said it. You said one word that stands out is experience. I mean, Tannehill has a lot of experience of, I've seen cover two, I've seen cover three, I've seen when you try to disguise it. If you look at Mariota, sometimes he's out there and he's unsure because maybe it's just he has an experience because he didn't see that in college. I mean, look at, I think it was maybe last year or the year or two when he threw a interception into cover two. I mean, what does that tell you? Basically, he's going with the guy that he thinks is open as opposed to where the read takes you. And that's why Mariota was struggling a little bit.
And, too, I think if you're a younger quarterback or maybe not quite as savvy,
right,
you know, you see the two safeties backed off and you go, okay, too deep. All right, fine. Well, if you're Tannehill, I think you look at those two safeties and you look at where their feet are, where their shoulders are, and you're saying, okay, this ain't too deep now.
That's a great
point. You know, he's going to do something else here in a second. Sure enough, they show it to you. And he's a step ahead, whereas Marcus, you know, the ball is snapped and now everybody's moving, and maybe you don't have a great feel for where everybody's yeah. going. So, like Chris said, you just take the ball and put it where the coach told me to put it. Yeah.
Coming up, we'll flip the field. We'll take a look at the Titans' defense because I think they've got their hands full this week with maybe the best quarterback ever, one of the best quarterbacks ever, and Michael Thomas, who's having a receiving year that may be one of the best receiving years ever.
What school did he go to?
And that doesn't – that whole team went to the Ohio State University. And then Alvin Kamara, who, of course, we know is having another great year. We'll get to that next. We are live from the George Jones. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, the game. It is time now to take a look at the defensive side of the ball for the Titans as they get set to take on the New Orleans Saints at Nissan Stadium. Chris Sanders,
yes,
I do believe that the New Orleans Saints have a pretty good quarterback, right?
Who was that guy?
Drew Brees.
He is a beast, man. He's one of those guys that you look up to, especially as being a former football player, a guy that is a student of the game, who makes his teammates better, who his play is always at a high level every single year, even when they count him out. So he's just one of those guys that makes everybody better.
I'm not sure anyone has ever said a bad word about Drew Brees. And he's been in the league for 20 years.
Jeez.
And he has been, you know, he will go down as one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Maybe the most underrated of the elite quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. And I know what it is. You know, New Orleans has had so many years where they haven't won, and they've got kind of a, you know, bad history, you know, whatever. But anyway, that franchise is not looked upon the same way that Green Bay or, you know, New England or franchises like that are looked at. So, you know, he's kind of played in the background a little bit, even though he's played very, very well for a long time. And for a long time didn't really have a lot of help. Well, now they've gotten to the point where this team is, you know, as I said during the week, I think this team is kind of where we want to be, say, next year or the year after. You know, they can literally go out on a weekly basis and have a great opportunity to win, and they know it. They go out and play their game, they win.
Floyd? Now you're Dean Pease. What's the plan to stop Drew Brees? Michael Thomas is having a fantastic year. Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook, Tre'Quan Smith. The names go on and on for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I mean, the hard part about the Drew and this offense is he knows everything that's going on out there. You're not going to show him a coverage that he hasn't seen. That being said, I think what you have to do is you have to try to disguise everything as long as you can. Surprise him. He will realize what it is. He'll probably have a good feel for what you're trying to do. But you need him to be that split-second slow, split-second undecisive. Maybe he throws it, you know, 2 feet too long, 2 feet too short, too high. Anything you can do to kind of disrupt his rhythm, because if he gets in a rhythm and he knows what you're doing, I mean, it's going to be a long day, because he is just that good.
You know, I really believe that. I mean, he's probably the best quarterback of all time, kind of, you know, aligned with what you guys said. But we're definitely going to have to put pressure on. If he sits back there and he just starts going through his read, it can definitely be a long day. Just like, you know, with the Rams and the Falcons – pressured him all day, and they created six sacks and held them to field goals. If we can hold this team to field goals and our offense sustains the long periods of drives, then I think the Tennessee Titans can win. I know they have a lot of talent. I know they have Kamara. I know they have Thomas, and I know they have Cook. Those guys scare me, but the one guy that scares me is this guy from The Ohio State University.
Another one.
It's Ted Ginn. And the real reason why I say Ted Ginn is because nobody's talking about him. Nobody's saying that he's making plays. Everybody's focused on Thomas. Everybody's focused on Kamara. Everybody's focused on all these guys. And if we accidentally, Dean Pease goes man-to-man against those guys, you don't think Drew Brees is going to look on the perimeter and say, you know what, I don't care what the other read is, I'm throwing downtown to Ted Ginn. That's the guy that scares me in this offense.
And Ted can run.
He can run.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
Well, that's been the case
him.
For him for 15 years. Yeah, I mean, he has never slowed for
not,
a second.
It's not that, you know, he may not have the best hands. He may not, all of those kinds of things. But if you want somebody to just go downtown, he can still do that. And we know after last week, what's that like, you know? And, I mean, if he gets out there on, on Deshaun or some of those other guys. I mean, LeSean Sims. I mean, it's going to be a little scary.
Well, and we talked about the fact that Tannehill can see the field and how Tannehill sees it better than Marcus and what Tannehill does when he sees the field. I mean, I feel pretty comfortable in saying that this guy may see the field better than any quarterback in the league, yeah, in Drew Brees.
I mean, he certainly sees it as well as anybody. I mean, I think, you know, you run into the same problem with all these guys. I don't care if your name's Brady or if your name's Rodgers or whatever your name is. You run into the same issues, which is if they have a clue as to what you're doing, they're just going to kill you. And that's why you have to be able to change it up enough. And lucky for us, you know, Vaccaro is going to be back and our safeties are veterans and mature. And I'm sure Vaccaro will bring in a little something with him that may help. But I mean, the bottom line is it doesn't matter if you're man for man. It doesn't matter if you're zone. It doesn't matter. If he can get underneath the center, put his hands on that center's butt and say, aha, they're in this, you're in trouble.
How do the Titans get pressure on Drew Brees today? It's been, we talked about this all week last week about how do they get pressure on Deshaun Watson. They didn't get pressure on Deshaun Watson. That probably was one of the differences in the football game. How, Chris, you talk about getting pressure. Atlanta did it. Other teams did it. How do you get pressure on Brees?
I mean, it all starts up front. You got to have Casey and Simmons. It's Casey, Simmons, and Landry. Those guys are definitely going to have to put pressure on him. And if they don't get pressure on him, he's going to sit back there all day and carve this defense up. And I know that Dean Pease is maybe going to send a corner bench, maybe Logan in the boundary. But you got to remember, this is a smart quarterback. And he, just like what Floyd Reese says, if your feet are different or your stance is different, Brees is going to pick that up. So we just got to be smart when we send pressure. But I think up front, if we can just be some straight-up dogs and be like, you know what, I'm getting the Drew Brees, then that's how we can get some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard regardless of what we do. Maybe the most important factor is if they don't have their guards. Mm. You know, that may be as big as anything else. And you know, if that's the case, then, you know, you're going to need some pressure inside, which, let's face it, Drew is not a big guy. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, all that pressure inside becomes a factor. Get your hands up, get a tip ball, and who knows. But, I mean, the downside to what you want to do to get pressure on him is that you got to cover Ginn man for man. You got to cover Thomas man for man. You got to cover Cook man for man. You got to cover Kamara man for man. And of those four guys I just named in the matchups, we're about 0-4. If we get caught in a matchup with those guys.
But Floyd, even on top of that, we're not talking about a guy that they put in the offense sparingly, and that's Deontay Harris.
Is that the little returner? He flies.
Okay, who's going to cover him?
Yeah, I mean, we got nobody again.
We're going to put him on Casey on him? I'm kidding. But, I mean, they just have a lot of talent, but it all starts if putting pressure on the quarterback. That's where it starts.
You brought up Casey. It feels to me like Casey is slowing down. Is it a fact that he was injured a little bit in the offseason and he was injured a little bit in the season and has had to miss some games and injuries have slowed him down? Or are we getting to the point with Jarrell Casey where he may no longer be a guy the Titans can count on week in and week out to get the kind of pressure that he's gotten for the bulk of his career?
You know, I mean, I think that's part of it. And this is maybe just me, but it seems like they're changing his position more and more. And I don't know if that's because they're leaving Simmons alone, hoping that, you know, him at a three technique spot is going to enable him to be more effective. But, you know, you see Casey lined up as a defensive end and stuff like that, and he's not a defensive end. I mean, he can't rush for him out there. That's not his forte. And I know what people say, well, if you're a good rusher, then you're a good rusher anyway. Wrong. You know, that's not the way it works. And so I wonder if they're getting a little bit of that. But, I mean, there's no doubt. I don't know how old's Casey. Probably
32, 33. Something like that.
Yeah, you know, so he's probably getting to the point. And, you know, you have those little injuries like his knee injury last year. Certainly doesn't help.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as far as Simmons next year, and we talked about this year was going to be a tough year for Simmons off the injury. They're going to need Simmons to be more productive next year. I mean, we were told a game record. Now, he had a good play the other day where he batted the ball in the air for
a
interception.
A good play.
But agreed. Simmons has got to become the guy next year. to really help them get pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be a dog. But just kind of, you know, flipping back to Casey just for 1 second, and Floyd made a good point that when you move him out the defensive end, he's got to create – there's more space, and he's got to make more moves. When he's inside the three technique, he's just got to make one move and use his power. That might be the difference of why he's not being so effective. But going back to Simmons has got to be a dog. I mean, he's big and strong and physical. They called him the Hawk. He's got to start being that Hawk that he's created to be.
And he's, you know, I mean, he's questionable today with a knee. I don't know if that's the same knee you heard before, but that has to concern you a little bit. And, you know, if it is the same knee, then is this something that's going to be there forever? I don't know.
Well, speaking of that knee, we'll get to that in a second. Who's in, who's out for the Titans? We'll discuss. Jared and the GM live from the George Jones. It's the pregame show along with Chris Sanders on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we are an hour and a half away from kickoff between the Titans and the New Orleans Saints at Nissan Stadium, the final home game of the 2019 season, the final home game of the decade. And yesterday, with Houston's win over Tampa Bay, it will be the final home game at Nissan Stadium, no matter what, as, of course, the Titans can only get in as the sixth seed in the AFC playoffs and thus would play every game on the road. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
Floyd Reese, it's time now to take a look at who's in and who's out. We start with the New Orleans Saints. Out today for them, linebacker Kiko Alonso, safety Von Bell, offensive lineman Ethan Greenidge, defensive end Noah Spence, defensive back DJ Swearinger, who I swear was with Oakland 2 weeks ago, and their starting guards Larry Warford and Andres Pete are both out today for the New Orleans Saints. For the Titans, much bigger names are out today. We already knew Adam Humphries and Adoree Jackson would be out. Joining them, running back Derrick Henry. Also, defensive lineman Isaiah Mack, linebacker Darren Bates, outside linebacker Reggie Gilbert, and defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons is inactive today for the Titans. That means Matt Dickerson will go in place of Jeffrey Simmons. Floyd, we start with the fact that I feel like Derrick Henry is not playing today, and maybe Simmons. I don't know enough about Simmons. I feel like the Titans made the decision to sit Henry when Tampa Bay lost yesterday to Houston, making this game irrelevant unless the Steelers lose both games and the Colts win both games, and then this game would matter to be 9-7 and be ahead of both the Colts and the Steelers. That's the only way that this game has any bearing on the Titans' playoff standing. We've talked about hamstrings. You got to rest them. It sounds like they're resting Derrick Henry. If that's the case, do you think that that sends the wrong message to the football team?
Well, I mean, I think these are legitimate issues. I mean, these guys have been on the injury report for the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I think you can, you know, it's not like you're just saying, okay, we're going to take, you know, these six guys and sit them even though they're, you know, healthy scratch, so to speak. I mean, both of those guys have issues. So, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say, okay, you know what, we're not going to go this week and see what happens next week. You know, and probably the whole team would look at it and think, yeah, it's probably a pretty good idea.
You know, I just think for me, with Henry being out, when you have a hamstring, you can't really sit on that hamstring. If you sit on a hamstring injury and try to come back and try to play, I mean, you're risking getting hurt even worse. In my opinion, I would play Henry. I know everybody's, oh, don't play Henry, sit him and rest him. This is not an ankle. This is not a knee.
Yeah.
This is a muscle. So if you don't keep using that muscle over and over and over again, then all of a sudden you rest it. Then all of a sudden you try to go through explosive movements. That's when you risk of getting hurt. I'm not saying going out there and playing a ton of plays, but still let him get a feel of the speed of the game. Still let him, you know, put some weight on that hamstring, so then now when he goes against the Houston Texans, he'll be ready to go. But if you sit him, I've been around a lot of hamstrings. If you sit this guy, then all of a sudden he plays next week and he tries to run that 60-yard run, he tries to explode, now you have a risk of losing him for a long time.
Yeah, I don't – I mean, I trust what Chris says. I don't know that much about it.
I was going to say, what's your experience
with
resting guys?
I could never run fast enough to pull a hamstring. So
I'm not talking about you, but as GM, you've had a lot of guys. I mean, as GM, you've had a lot of guys that have hamstring issues.
It's always up to the doctor and the trainer for me, always. You know, what do you think? Well, I think he can play. If he plays, does he have risk of hurting it more? No, not really. Okay, fine. Then, you know, let's do it. If you say, yeah, you know, if he pops it and, you know, he's going to be done for the season, then you kind of go, whoa, okay. You know, let's go ahead and sit his butt down.
What if the trainer said to you, it would be advantageous for Henry to rest a week before the Texan game? Would you factor in the importance of this game for the playoff race when making that kind of decision? Or do you worry that it does say to the team, you know, the Saint game doesn't matter as much, and you're telling the other players, hey, this Saints game doesn't have a ton of juice. Like, I'm going to the game today. I'll be up in the club level.
Ooh, big
time.
If
the Jets and the Steelers are close, I'm going inside, and I am watching the Jets and the Steelers on the TV because Jets-Steelers means more to the Titans today than Titans football means to the Titans today.
Well, I think, the bottom line, I agree with Chris. If it's a muscle, it's different, and it has to be treated differently. And, you know, he practiced Friday, was it, or Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
He practiced. So, you know, I'm going to guess that either Thursday or Friday, you know, the next day, whichever day that was, it got sore maybe. And so they said, okay, you know what, we're going to back you off a little bit here and see what happens, see if we can get this thing right.
Yeah, and here's the difference. There's two different things we're saying is, are we resting him or can he go? I mean, there's a difference. If he can go – if I'm a coach, now, and I agree with Floyd Reese 100%, if the doctor's saying that we're at risk of more injury, set him down. You sit down. But if you can go, then you're going because you still want to carry that momentum into the next game, and that's the only thing that I'm concerned about.
So I look at it like this. Like, let's say Henry is 70% right now, and a week off can get him back to 85% for next week. I mean, I think that that's the smart thing to do because you're going to have to beat the Texans. And if you're going to beat the Texans, you want Derrick Henry to be as close to healthy as possible. And so I understand the move one way or another. I just hope that it doesn't cost you this game and then the Steelers lose both games and you still lose to the Texans. And had you had Derrick Henry healthy, you would have made the playoffs. But again, the only way that this football game matters today is if Indy wins both of their games and Pittsburgh loses both of their games and you lose the Texan game. So this game is only important if five other games all have the similar outcome to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm boiling it down to Pittsburgh's got to lose one. Yeah. We got to beat Houston. That's, in my mind, that's it. Yeah. Something else helps us along the way. Fantastic.
There is nothing else that helps you along the way.
So, you know, but right now, that's what I'm counting on. They've got to lose one or two, and we got to win.
So the point being is the game that you have to win is the Texan game.
Right.
So this game, what does it matter? And I do wonder if that's getting through to the players. Like, you know, the players are out there warming up, getting ready to go, but is there a lack of juice associated with this game because of the situation that the playoffs kind of render this game meaningless?
Well, I don't see. I mean, there is the scenario that you can win two and they lose one, and then you don't have to worry about all that other stuff, right?
Talking about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh still has
to lose, and you still have to beat the Texans.
Right.
That's what it all boils down to.
You win two, they lose one, then you don't have to worry about what Indy does. You don't have to worry about
any of that other stuff. You don't have to worry. If they lose one and you beat the Texans, you don't have to worry about anything that anybody else does.
Right. But if you win two, I mean, you guarantee that, right?
Well, yeah, because you beat the Texans.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
This game doesn't – I mean, like this – so if you win – if you beat the Texans and they lose a game
– you're in.
You're in.
Yeah.
So this game doesn't mean anything to that. But if you win both games and they win both games, they're in.
Right. But if you win both – if you win both games – so we can be in if we lose one or lose two – but can't be in by winning two?
Theoretically, yes.
let me just take...
That's why we don't
okay.
win. Don't get into it.
No.
I don't want to hear all these different
for
scenarios.
For the people.
Oh, jeez.
I'll just lay it out.
Oh, my God.
Here are your scenarios.
Wake me when this is over, Chris.
I'm going to be asleep with you.
If the Titans win both games...
Okay.
And Pittsburgh wins both games... Pittsburgh is in.
Okay.
If Pittsburgh wins both games and the Titans lose a game, Pittsburgh is in. If Pittsburgh loses one game and the Titans beat New Orleans but lose to Houston, Pittsburgh is in. If Pittsburgh loses a game and the Titans lose to New Orleans but beat Houston by AFC tiebreaker, the Titans are in. Do you hear that? Did you get that? Okay. Now, if Pittsburgh loses both games and Tennessee loses both games, Tennessee is in.
Okay.
But if Pittsburgh loses both games, Tennessee loses both games, and Indianapolis wins both games against Carolina and Jacksonville, all three teams are tied at 8-8, and Pittsburgh goes to the playoffs. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, could you do it over again? No, I'm just kidding.
Now, the other thing I don't know about
is,
so like Indianapolis is eliminated from the playoffs, but Indianapolis can still mess with you getting into the playoffs.
Okay.
They show up on the screen, technically Cleveland and Oakland are still alive in the playoffs, and I want to know what would have to happen to get Cleveland into the playoffs.
Thank you. We just lost our audience.
Coming up next, they all care about that. These same fans are listening to what I'm saying. They're trying to figure all this out.
Everybody just turned the station.
Coming up next, all anyone ever cares about is the playoffs. This is how the playoffs work, and then you want to pretend like, well, we can't worry about the playoffs. We only got to worry about the Saints. Coming up next, Teron Davenport live from Nissan Stadium. What's TD seeing out there? Of course, Titans got a new kicker. What's he look like? We'll get to that live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Derrick Henry is out today for the Titans. Jeffrey Simmons is out today for the Titans. In, though, our guy Teron Davenport, ESPN.com, live at Nissan Stadium for the final home game of the 2019 season. TD, what was the surprise factor when the inactives came out and Jeffrey Simmons' name was included on the list?
Yeah, I mean, everyone expected Derrick Henry to be inactive. That news came out before the list came out, but Jeffrey Simmons, I think, is the surprise one because he popped up on the injury report on Friday with the knee. I'm not sure if it's the same knee that he had a procedure on, obviously, during the offseason. But that's probably the biggest surprise, and that's really unfortunate for this Titans team.
What does it feel like? You were in the locker room all week, but on the field today, knowing that the juice of this game for what it means for the Titans is not nearly as important as what goes on in New York today for the Titans. Does it feel like the players are feeling that as much as I think we probably are feeling that?
No, I think you guys are feeling that a little bit more than the Titans are. End of the day, regardless of what happens with the Jets and Steelers, this is a team that has a job to do, right? I mean, you have to go out to win the game, right? And that's Herm Lewis, Herm Edwards, excuse me. You know what he said? You play to win the game. So, you know, Deion Lewis as the starting running back, they still have to figure out a way to win. So they're focused on what's in front of them, not as much what's going on the scoreboard.
They're gonna be minus their two starting guards, I guess. Where does that leave them? I mean, obviously not going to be as good, but is it a dramatic fall off? Are they going to have to move somebody from a different position? Do we know that yet?
I'm not sure if they're going to have to move anybody from a different position, but rest assured, not having Warford is major for them. And you know, obviously Andrew Peet, a guy who came in as a tackle and moved over to guard a few years ago. I mean, that's huge, and that's where the Jeffrey Simmons not being active, that's where that really hurts, because that was a chance for that young man to go in there and dominate. But I will say this, I was talking to Eric McCoy a little bit before the game, and you know, he's ready to go, and he said regardless, they'll be in good shape. I mean, this is an offensive line, they're second in the league as far as sacks allowed. So Drew Brees, just expect a quick passing game. That's really the best thing for them. And when the Titans go zone, Michael Thomas, you already know what it is with him.
Have you had a chance to get a look at our new kicker, whatever his name is?
Yeah, Gregory Joseph. I got a chance to watch him make a couple kicks. He was actually one of the first people out here. He and Logan Ryan were out here, so that's a good sign, right, that he's out early and trying to get the feel of the field.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens, though, because kicking situation has just been really interesting, to say the least.
You know, when the Falcons played the Saints, the Falcons sacked Breece 6 times, and they pressured him all day and held, you know, them the 3 field goals. Where would Dean Pease send pressure to put pressure on Breece? Where can that pressure come from?
Well, if it were up to me, I would really go heavy on Logan Ryan coming off the edge in that nickel package. But okay. It's just, man, you know what happens when you blitz, right? You're typically taking away from the coverage. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would do that against this passing game that's so good. But, you know, if anything, I think the best way to do it to get pressure is with Logan Ryan and using him.
Yeah, and the Saints are loaded with talent. I mean, they got Michael Thomas, they got Jared Cook. But who's going to cover Ted Ginn from The Ohio State University? Who would they put on him? Does he scare you a little bit?
You know what? That's a roadrunner on the outside, man. He's an older roadrunner, but he still has wheels. And you see them using him in different ways, man. And then even, you know, they'll run that end around with him too. So, listen. DMPs, all I can say is God bless you. You know what I mean? Because there's just so much that he has to figure out, man.
Teron Davenport, ESPN.com. Last question for you, TD. What happens between the Steelers and the Jets today?
Hey, man, it's the Revenge Bowl. Le'Veon Bell is going to rush for 150 and have 60 yards receiving. And the Steelers are going to lose to the Jets, man. I'm going to say this, though. I'm going to say this. If Mike Tomlin gets the Steelers to the playoffs with Duck Hodges as the quarterback, I really don't think there should be a conversation about who is the coach of the year, man.
Amen.
Give him his props.
Yep.
TD, as always, we appreciate it. We will talk to you next week from Houston.
Thanks, TD.
Appreciate you, man.
All right. We got one in the possible. You know, one in the possible left, so. Let's keep it going.
Have a very, very happy holiday, TD.
Thanks. Likewise.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, Teron Davenport, awesome. ESPN.com, live from Nissan Stadium, joining us on the show. To me, there's no question, even if the Steelers don't get to the playoffs, I think Mike Tomlin has earned Coach of the Year this year in the NFL for what he's done with the Steelers.
I mean, he's kept this team together. I mean, this team was in a mess. The quarterback situation was wrong. Roethlisberger gets hurt, and you change 2 quarterbacks, and then the incident with the fight against the Cleveland Browns. To keep this team together through all that mess, through all that adversity, that just shows you he's a quality coach.
Yeah, I mean, he has done more with less. You know, you figure you look at this team, what, 18 months ago, they had maybe the best receiver in the league. They had maybe the best running back in the league. I mean, they had
Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, they had a quarterback that was going to go to the Hall of Fame. They were loaded. Well, now they got nothing, none of those. And guess what? They're tied with us. So he has done a great job.
So the big tiebreaker where it would come in for the Titans and the Steelers if they have the same AFC record, it's as you go down like the list, is the strength of victory. And this is my thing about the Steelers. And I'm not taking anything away from Tomlin because I think he's done a fantastic job. But this year, the Steelers, really the AFC East and the AFC North get really, really, really juicy schedules because they play each other, and the AFC East, in their case, gets the NFC East, which may be the worst division in the history of the NFL. And so while you're out there playing against Indy, who's, you know, Indy's not great, but Indy's not bad, and you're playing against those teams twice, they get the Bengals twice. They get the Dolphins. They get the Jets. They get those kind of teams. So the strength of victory is the tiebreaker that the Titans would have over the Steelers if they have the same AFC record, if the Titans beat the Texans and the Steelers lose one of these games. I'm not saying the Steelers are not deserving of all the props they're getting and that they haven't won games, because they have, but I do believe the reason Tomlin's been able to pull this off with the problems they've had at quarterback is in large part due to the competition they've been playing.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of Clevelands and Cincinnati's down the stretch.
Yeah, you're right, but they still got to go out there and win the games. I mean, and that's what's so impressive about Tomlin is this team had every chance to fold with the quarterback situation, just like what Floyd said with A.J. Brown, leaving and all the mess that was going on, the fights. And I mean, just all that crazy stuff to go out there and still put this in position to win, to get in the playoffs is really, really an accomplishment.
And this gets back again to, you know what, the numbers are the same as they were last year, but, I mean, the team and who they're playing and the record of the opponents and, you know, on and on are not anywhere near. And I think that's why it's always hard to compare, you know, teams and say, well, they were 9-7 the last 3 years. That's, you know what, it's a different 9-7. But it's hard to argue with you are what your record says you are, you know.
I wonder, too, in this football game, you heard TD say there, he thinks the Jets, he thinks Le'Veon Bell goes for 150 on the ground and 60 receiving, 200 total yards for Le'Veon Bell in the game. I just can't see Tomlin letting Le'Veon Bell have that kind of game.
Zero chance. The reason why I say because they practice with him, they've been around him, so Tomlin knows how to take him out the game, and you know they're going to take him out the game because who else do they have on the Jets?
Robbie Anderson.
Exactly what I'm saying.
I mean, I'm not, again, the Jets are what they are, but a lot of people seem very confident that the Jets are going to beat the Steelers. I am not one of them. I think we have to pin our hopes of the Titans making the playoffs on the Ravens not being able to rest everybody next week and RG3 beating the Steelers.
But you got to remember, we still got to go beat the Texans.
Yeah.
You know, we're putting everything on everybody else, but the Titans have to do what they're supposed to do. And it starts today by beating the Saints and then going beating the Texans, because we can say all these scenarios. If we go down and lose the Texans, no more Titans.
No, doesn't matter.
I just don't think the Texans are going to be equipped to beat the Titans next Sunday. Like, I don't think you will see Deshaun Watson play. I don't think you will see DeAndre Hopkins play. I know you won't see Will Fuller play, as he re-injured his groin yesterday. He can't stay healthy. And I would doubt that Whitney Mercilus plays against the Titans on Sunday for the Texans. So if that's the case, I mean, that is a rested and undermanned Texan team, and I feel like the Titans are capable of beating that kind of football team. They should beat that team. They should beat the Texans at full strength, much less with the Texans taking all those guys out.
Okay.
that sounds like, okay.
I mean, you say that, but you know the Texans are not going to play all their guys next week.
They're going to play their guys.
And if you can't beat the Texans who are undermanned, then you don't deserve to go to the playoffs.
We don't know that. We don't know any of that. I mean, he said yesterday they were going to play.
I know, but who's he kidding? Coming up next, our picks to click. Who needs to click today for the Titans to take down the New Orleans Saints? We'll get to that next. And, of course, it'll be a doubleheader for the late games on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9 Game 2. 102.5 The Game, the battle for the NFC East. The Cowboys at Lincoln Financial Field taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. That game starts at 2:45. And the Raiders on the road at the L.A. Chargers, which will basically be a home game for the Raiders. That kicks off at 2:30 on 94.9 Game 2. That's part of the doubleheader. Picks to click next, live from the George Jones. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 1 hour to kick off before the season home finale at Nissan Stadium. Titans and Saints today, as Drew Brees in New Orleans coming off of their huge skunking of the Indianapolis Colts on Monday Night Football. Titans today looking not only for a win against the Saints, but a Steeler loss to the Jets would do wonders. But it is time now for our picks to click, going over last week's picks to click. Chris Sanders, you went with Khalif Raymond on offense and Jarrell Casey on defense.
Not so good.
That's like scratching off a lottery ticket and then being like, nope, try next time. Floyd Reese, you went with Jonnu Smith offensive pick to click. Jonnu Smith having a very productive day against the Houston Texans. And Jeffrey Simmons was your pick to click. Defensively, Simmons with a batted pass in the air that was intercepted by Jayon Brown. I went with Ryan Tannehill as my pick to click. And Kamale Correa as my defensive pick to click. Correa had a sack of Deshaun Watson last week. It is time now for our picks to click. Who's got a click in order for the Titans to beat the Saints? We start with Tippy Toes himself, Chris Sanders. Chris, who's your offensive pick to click today?
I am going to go with Davis. And the reason why I'm going with Davis is because the Saints defensive coordinator is probably going to take A.J. Brown away and maybe double coverage him, and Davis is going to get man-to-man coverage, and he's got to step up exactly what he did last year against the Eagles, and he's capable of making those big plays.
Does it not feel like Corey Davis needs to have a big game sometime soon?
I mean,
people have not talked about the fact that he's got a fifth-year option coming up at the end of this year that's going to be incredibly expensive because he was the fifth overall pick in the draft. If the Titans are going to pick that up, they probably need to see a little bit more out of Corey Davis.
I mean, I agree with you 100%, and I know we go back and forth on this, but he's got to get more opportunities. The opportunity that he's had, he's been making the most of it. I know he's dropped a couple of passes, but he's making plays. Last week he had a big third-down conversion, so he's capable of making the big plays, and I agree with you, just got to be seeing more and more.
Defensive pick to click, Chris Sanders.
I'm going Landry. The reason why I'm going Landry is because somebody's got to find a way to put pressure on Breeze. We got Simmons out. Casey's probably going to get double teamed, so Landry's got to come off the edge and be a ball wrecker to get it after Breeze.
Floyd, who is your offensive pick to click today?
Offensive, I'm going to go with Arthur Smith simply because he is going to have to take what he's got and make it work. That's, you know what, it's like you've heard me say 1,000 times, nobody in the NFL feels sorry for you.
I don't care
who you are, where you are, who you're playing with, nobody feels sorry for you one iota. So, you know what, you gotta find a way.
And your defensive pick to click today? Don't say Dean Pease.
Dean Pease. For exactly the same reason.
Oh, man.
He's got to go out there against, you know, one of the best, if not the best, offenses in the NFL right now and find a way to shut him down. And you don't have a Dory and you don't have this and that and the other. And nobody cares. So find a way.
So I am going, I don't want to be like Floyd and just ruin it by always picking the center and the two guards, because you can never judge whether or not the picks clicked when it's the center and the two guards.
Wait. Jonnu Smith?
He did a good job.
We can't decide if he clicked.
I was very thankful for you to actually pick real players last week.
He skirted over that.
Oh, he clicked.
There you go.
For me, I'm going to start with my defensive pick to click first. I'm going to go defensively with Kenny Vaccaro. Kenny had a big interception last week. Okay. He's playing the Saints, a team he knows well, a team that after 5 years said, thanks but no thanks, and let Kenny Vaccaro walk in free agency, which luckily the Titans were able to pick him up, and Kenny has been a solid player for the Titans. I think he and Byard are going to have a lot of responsibility today, as you're going to have Ty Smith out there. You're going to have Tremaine Brock out there. You're going to have a lot of guys that are going to need a lot of help today. Vaccaro, big interception last week. I'm going to go with Vaccaro as my pick to click on the defensive side of the ball. My offensive pick to click today? Le'Veon Bell is my offensive pick to click today.
Oh, come on.
Because J-E-T-S, Jets,
critical of me for picking his center and a guard.
Exactly.
And he picks a guy on a different team.
Can you do that? Is that the rules?
No. But I make the rules, and I say, it's not allowed in the rules. But the Titans need the Jets to win today, and the only way the Jets can win is if Le'Veon Bell goes nuts against the Steelers, which, again, as we've said, Le'Veon is only motivated by one thing, money. But if Le'Veon was ever going to get motivated, it would be to play the Steelers. So I'm going with Le'Veon Bell today in the fact that maybe Le'Veon can save the Titans' season.
You're disqualified from the game.
It's my game.
How are you going to pick another team? It says Titans and Saints.
Because I couldn't pick. I really wanted to pick the Jets as one of my, like, picks to click or something, but it's not a whole team. So I'm going Le'Veon Bell today because the Titans are going to need him against the Steelers today. See, this is the problem with doing the show with former athletes and former coaches, is that you guys can't look at the Steeler game and say, that game is more important than this game.
No, we're going by the rules.
We're taught to go by the rules.
That's what we're taught.
And if you don't go by the rules, you get a penalty for it. Yeah. I mean, it's that simple.
You think Tom Coughlin was taught to go by the rules?
Somebody that is you're working with and they create a game, pull it out of there, you know where to create. And now we're changing the rules of it. Really? So, I mean.
So basically, we can pick anybody on a different team.
Yeah, I'm with Chris.
Hey, I'm going with Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
He won't do very well for you. I'm just telling you. I mean, he's kind of hurt. I stand by this. Again, the Titans need the Jets today to win. And I just, this is like, I really want the Jets to win today. Because, again, our picks to click are presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. I do feel like it'll make all next week way more fun if the Steelers lose this game, and then all of a sudden next week is a pure win and you're in. And that's not next week where we're sitting here saying, okay, the Titans kicked the ball off at 3 and the Ravens kicked the ball off at noon. And you I just rather have a pure win and you're in for the Titans.
Okay, I just looked at the rule book in section 101.1.
The pick-to-click rule book?
Yeah, you only can pick the teams that are playing that day. Not that day, but the teams that we're supposed to be picking.
So okay. I have to pick an offensive player for the Titans?
Yeah, man.
Deion Lewis. Deion has not done a damn thing this entire season except hurt the Titans, and he's going to have to play a little bit because Derrick Henry's out. So, Deion, as we would say in hockey, pay what you owe, $5 million for Deion Lewis, and Deion Lewis does nothing. He can't pick up the blitz anymore. He's not really a threat out of the backfield to catch the ball. He certainly can't run the ball, and every time he runs the ball, I feel like I'm watching Petey from Remember the Titans, and I'm afraid he's going to fumble. So at least I can just today say, Deion, it's time for you to do something today for the Titans.
Hey, Floyd,
is that fair?
Hey, Floyd, who scored last week?
Deion.
Okay.
Deion scored?
Yes.
When did Deion score?
Should have scored twice.
He scored.
If he had gotten out of there and gone, I was hoping Deion didn't fumble on that.
He scored right at the end of the game.
Exactly.
21st point, I think.
Thank you.
Oh, so he scored a meaningless touchdown that.
No, it tied it up.
When they were in the prevent.
Tied it up to 21.
No, it didn't tie it up.
Yes, he did.
It was 24. It was 24-14.
No, it was 24-21.
21-14.
No, 24-21.
It was 20. Okay, so it was 20.
Ended up 24-21.
So it was 21-14. Then the Titans went 3 and out. Then the Texans kicked a field goal, go up 24-14. Then the Titans, with 2 minutes or whatever, had already used their timeouts, had to go right down the field, score a touchdown, get the onside kick, didn't get the onside
kick. That's the one he scored.
Yeah, so it was meaningless.
No, it's never meaningless.
They were in the prevent defense.
Never meaningless.
Not going into the red zone. Hey, Floyd, time out. How are they going to be in prevent defense in their 20 going in?
Yeah.
Covering
the beer sale.
As my dad calls the prevent, he calls it the allow, which I agree with, and they were in the prevent, so Deion scored a meaningless touchdown. So Deion's my pick to click to please do something today, since I'm not allowed to pick Le'Veon Bell, even though I'm sticking with Le'Veon as my pick. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel's keys to the game for the Titans today, plus what are our keys and our game day picks, Titans and Saints. We'll get to that all coming up next, live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Titans and Saints today at noon, as well as Steelers and Jets today at noon. And as we know, a Steeler loss and a Titan win next week at Houston puts the Titans into the playoffs. As the sixth seed, the Titans would likely go to Kansas City in the first round of the AFC playoffs. A Titan loss today does not carry as much weight as a Steeler loss would for the playoff race. It is time now, though, for Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. What do the Titans have to do for a win over the New Orleans Saints? His first key is one he has harped on since the day he got here, and that is playing complementary football if they're going to beat a team as powerful as the Saints.
This is going to be a great test for us to see how we match up in all three phases. There were signs of us doing it the right way the other day, but then we're going to need to be able to play complementary in our punt team, in our return phase, on special teams, creating field position. We didn't win the hidden yardage last week, which we had done for a number of weeks in a row, that continue to add up to create field position and shorter fields, and then our offense going in there to score. So it's going to be a great challenge to be able to play a complementary football game against a talented, well-coached football team.
Does it not kind of feel like the Titans have lost that edge in complementary football? And as Vrabel said, the hidden yardage and special teams and things like that. It does feel like they lacked that, especially last week against the Texans.
I don't think they lost their edge. I just think that in special teams they're playing inconsistent. I mean, if you look at the field goal has been a spectacle in itself. And I just think that that's where they lacked in the area. On defense, they've been playing solid. Offense, they've been playing solid. But the one thing that's been a sore thumb. It's the special teams, and you can't do that against a phenomenal team with the Saints.
And they have, I mean, they're struggling from a coverage standpoint, but they're pretty good on returns. Mm-hmm. That's when your little guy comes in, Chris.
Darius.
Yeah, he can fly. He ain't any bigger than a minute, but he can fly.
Bigger than a minute.
he's tiny. But, I mean, he's a gazelle, and so – you know, it becomes a factor. But, I mean, we're going to have to go out. I think he's right, you know, but it's this complimentary game, I think, is going to extend up into the press box a little bit more than it has.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have to just be so smart about the things that we do and how we, you know, how it's going to affect the other guy. Because if one side or the other gets out of whack, you know, either we give up and we're behind 14 to nothing or something like that, I mean, now we're all in trouble. You know, by the same token, we go out there, turn the ball over two straight series, now we're in real trouble. So we're going to have to be smart and careful with what we do.
Perfect. That's perfect.
I think one of the things the Titans are going to have to watch out for here is without Derrick Henry, can they still control the game running the football? And we talked about Deion Lewis. I think Kari Blasingame may have a role today as a running back. He was a running back at Vanderbilt. He was kind of the big power back. I know he's played fullback here. He's been useful in what he's been asked to do. And maybe Mike Vrabel turns around and hands the ball off to Kari Blasingame.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't – after last week down on the goal line when he caught that pass, and I think it was
against the Raiders, wasn't it?
No, again, and the Vandy linebacker just threw him to the ground like he was a rag doll. I'm not sure he's an NFL power back.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see because he sure looked – you know, slight there. I mean, I thought, like you, I thought he'd be able to power through, end up in the end zone, couldn't do it.
If you was the Saints defense and Blasingame was lined up at tailback, would you be pretty scared?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, are you be scared of Deion Lewis?
No, but I'd rather be – I think Lewis brings more fear than a Blasingame.
I don't think – Lewis brings any fear.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
so where's Blasingame?
That's what you said exactly.
Well, he said brings more fear. I think they bring the same fear, which is no fear. Which takes us to Mike Vrabel's second key to the game, and that is on third down on both sides. Stay on the field on offense and get off the field on defense.
They're a top 10 offense and top 10 defense when it comes to those possession downs on third down. And we were trending in the right direction. We weren't good enough the other day. We were only 40%. We allowed, the Texans to convert 50%. So I think this will be critical going into the Saints game, is that we keep them and do everything we can to force them into third and long situations where we can try to get off the field, allow the rush to get there. And the same that goes for our offense. And when we stayed out third and 10 or 11 the other day, we were fine. But when we didn't, you know, those are hard to convert.
So one thing that bothers me, Floyd, is that if you get into third and long today against the Saints defense, you have no shot. Cam Jordan, Onyemata, see ya, pack it up, bring Brett Kern out to punt. They can be in third and 15, and I feel like Drew Brees will be just fine being able to convert against the Titan defense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree at all with what Mike's saying, but I don't have much confidence. Now, without the guards, I mean, I agree with TD. You know, Wolford is a big-time guard, and he's not there, and that's going to be a factor. But now we're going to have to take advantage of that with Dickerson or somebody like that, you know, and I'm not sure we can do that. But I don't disagree with what he's saying. I just don't know how he's going to do it. You know, I don't see a clear path. That's why I say you've got to be smart, and you've got to, you know, try to mess with him a little bit, just enough so there is a question mark in his head. And more importantly, maybe the receivers.
Yeah.
You know, now the receivers aren't quite sure. And maybe, you know, they've got a few extra receivers playing that maybe they aren't sure. And maybe, you know, they run a wrong pattern too. So something good's got to happen.
Yeah, I think for the Titans offense, they definitely have to convert third downs. Because if you look at when the Falcons beat them, they had a 17-play drive, a 12-play drive, a 10-play drive, and a 9-play drive. What does that tell you? That means when you're converting third downs, that means Drew Brees, Thomas, and Ted Ginn, all those guys are sitting on the sidelines. So if the Tennessee Titans can definitely convert third down, Drew Brees can make plays because he's sitting on the sidelines.
That takes us to Mike Vrabel's third and final key, and that is against the Saint team that doesn't turn it over and gets a lot of turnovers, win the turnover battle.
We need to be better, but this team is number one. They're number one in the league in turnover margin. They take care of the football. They don't throw many interceptions. They're strong with the football. And they don't turn it over, and the defense has gotten some turnover. So I think that's going to be critical for us, is to be able to win the turnover battle, make sure we take care of the football. Our defense has continued to find ways to get it from them, either tipping balls, intercepting it, disguising them. Breeze is a tough guy to fool into anything.
Good luck to them on trying to win the turnover battle against the Saints. Floyd, how do you do it?
Yeah, I'm not sure you can win it, but maybe we can tie it. You know, maybe we can be right there with them, because they have been outstanding, especially on offense, turning the ball over. They have less turnovers than any team in the league, and the defense is getting a few. So, I mean, we've got to do the same thing. Cannot turn it over at all on offense, and defense has got to find a way to sneak a few. And the problem is, of course, you know, the two counteract each other a little bit. That is, we can't turn it over at all against their defense that is really good at getting turnovers, and we have to be able to turn it over on defense, and their offense doesn't turn it over at all. So something's got to give. Yeah. You know? It's going to be tough.
And I think we got to do the same thing like we did against the Kansas City Chiefs, is maybe block a field goal, do something like that, and pick it, scoop and score. I mean, they had a high-powered offense, but they did some goofy stuff by blocking a field goal and getting interceptions to put themselves in position to win.
Quickly, what are our keys to the game? Chris, we start with you today for the
Titans. Okay, I think for offense, I mean, we said it earlier, they got to convert third downs and keep that potent offense off the field. And even though they don't have Henry, somebody's got to step up and make a play. If it's a receiver, if it's a running back, somebody's got to make a play. And on defense, they got to pressure Breeze just like the Falcons did. They had six sacks, pressing them all day, and held them to field goals. It's the Tennessee Titans can hold them to field goals in spite of them making explosive plays, the Tennessee Titans can win.
GM, your keys to the game today for a Titan win?
They got to get off to a fast start. I mean, we've five of the six games we've lost, we haven't scored in the first half. And last week is a great example. So we have got to find a way. Doesn't mean we've got to score 21 points. But if they have three, we need to have three. If they have 10, we need to have 10. So we're going to have to find a way to keep up, get things going a little bit in the first half.
Who wins today and why? Game day picks. Chris Sanders, let me start with you.
I'm going with the Saints 31-24.
You're usually Titans through and through.
Okay, can I change it? Titans 42. Saints. Okay, I'm doing it. Titans 42. Saints 41.
GM, who wins today and why?
Yeah, Saints 41-40.
Saints? You going to say?
That's it.
I'm going to go Saints 33-21 today. I think that this will be a close game. It'll go a little back and forth. Titans will surprise you, make some plays, but ultimately Drew Brees and the Saints are just going to be too much for the Titans, who, without Derrick Henry, to me it feels like the Titans are waving the white flag to hold Derrick Henry out of this game and getting ready for the Texan game. So I'll go Saints 33-21. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back for our final regular season pregame show next week, live here from the George Jones. We'll be back, assuming that it's a noon start, we'll be back at 9:30, though that could change based off of playoff scenarios. The Titans need a jet win at Pittsburgh, or against Pittsburgh in New York today, or a Steeler loss at Baltimore and a win next week in order to get to the playoffs. We'll be back. Happy holidays to everybody.
You,
Jared, the GM, Chris Sanders, it's the pregame show. Coming up later today, Cowboys and Eagles, right here, 2:45 on ESPN 102.5, the game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.